Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. We've got a huge,
huge slate of films today to talk
about. So many films that I was exhausted by the end of the week.
We're going to give you 5 seconds. Go get a drink and a refreshment because it's going to be wall-to-wall, nonstop talking about movie.
Yes, about one movie. But before we get to that,
yes,
I want to do the how you get a hold of us thing.
Oh, did you get the...
No.
No, you didn't. So when you give the phone number, it's not going to work this
week. We're actually not giving out the phone number anymore. if you'd like to get in touch with us...
Can I give out my phone number?
Your personal phone number?
No. My special phone number.
Let's give out your cell phone number.
No, I'm not going to...
Oh, geez.
Okay, go ahead. Give the rest of it.
Well, anyways, if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can hit us at fatguysthemovies.com. You can also hit us on iTunes. If you go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys the Movies, we pop right up. If you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And apparently Kevin's going to give you a different phone number.
I'm going to give you a different phone number just so that we have it. Call us at 740-205-6456. That actually works. So
theoretically,
hordes and hordes of people, all our fans, including Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
If you want to rescind on your engagement to Ryan Reynolds, so that you can snatch up the eligible Neil Miller. You can't go after me. I just had a kid.
Right, another one.
It's like Tim Allen bad to break up with your wife, like right after,
especially the third one.
Yeah, he's like a week old.
Right. So there you have it. I mean, that really does explain why Kristen Bell stopped returning all my calls.
Well, she can't because she's stuck in your basement, tied up.
Oh, that's not true.
That's not now.
Anyways.
That's because you don't have a basement.
Right.
She's in the closet.
It is a closet.
With a leaky pipe.
It's a closet known as my roommate's room.
Okay, that's just... I know your roommate, and that's just creepy beyond belief.
Anywho, moving on. What are we talking about today?
I think that's our MO, is just to alienate all of our listeners from the get-go.
Right, and then we just do a show as if no one's listening, because no one is.
Except your mom.
Right, my mom's still listening, but she's only listening to think of reasons why she should be mad at you later in the week.
Why? What's
for making for making fun of me.
Why is she mad at me? She doesn't dislike me because I make fun of you. You know she sits there, and she's sitting at home listening, and she's like, he's got a point.
Yeah, right. I doubt it. So my mom had infinite support for me in my career choices.
I love you, Neil's mom. I got Gerard Butler to say hi to you.
That is true. That is true. She probably does like you better than me at this point for the Gerard Butler thing. I tried to milk that for all it was worth. I was like, see what we did? Reality, it was you. So
yeah, there we are.
Anyways, I don't know why I just told that story, but we are talking about movies this week. We're going to talk
about
We're talking about The Chronicles of Narnia, but we're not even going to talk about that till the next segment.
Because it's the only thing opening.
Right. Otherwise, we'd have to talk about Kevin's, I don't know, your road trip.
You're not even like getting like Fellini's Diaper as like this independent film or something like that.
Yeah, it's just so weird. There's just nothing.
Nothing.
I will take that back. There are some independent films. I was looking at it this week. Actually, earlier.
None that we've actually seen, though.
No, none that we've actually seen. None that we will ever see.
I guess.
But
there are
I would like to run you through, since we have the time, some of the films that are also coming out with The Chronicles of Narnia. There is a film called Reprise, which is...
not starring Peter Dinklage.
It doesn't have anyone in it that I recognize. Nope. Nobody. It's about two competitive friends fueled by literary aspirations and youthful exuberance endure the pangs of love, depression, and burgeoning careers.
I am going to stampede and not see that movie.
Man, okay. That one's out. We're not going to see that one. Let's see. What else do we got?
Tell me
here?
More of the independent films I'm not going to see.
We've got Swamp Devil.
At the Hawaii Film Festival.
That is playing at the Hawaii Film Festival. Life is a Buffet. This actually sounds like it's right up your alley.
Yeah.
That is... stars a bunch of people. Oh, John Hurt.
John Hurt.
How did John Hurt end up in this movie?
But he is not. It does not star Peter Dinklage.
No, it does not. But here, let me give you. Wait, Life is a Buffet is the title. It was made in 2005.
Okay, so it.
And it's been retitled.
From what?
Short Order.
Oh God.
All right, I'm not even going to read. Don't even.
This is worthless. Nobody. These are movies that are opening in like the Albuquerque Film Festival.
The Tallahassee Film Festival. A movie called The Garage.
Oh, great.
Wow, this is really.
If you're not going to see Prince Caspian this week, you're going to be about the 12 people seeing these other movies.
Yeah. Well, I there are a lot of people over in France this weekend. No, the Cannes
there's always
Film
a lot
Festival.
Of people. I just like there's a lot of people over in France. There's always like France is deserted.
I mean,
like 51 wow. weeks out of the year.
Not where I was going with that. But the Cannes Film Festival.
Is Mr. Bean there?
He might be. Was he there last year?
Well, he was in the movie that where he went. Did you see Mr. Bean's Holiday?
No,
you completely unloaded
it.
Yeah, he went to Cannes.
Nice. Well,
it's actually really funny because Willem Dafoe was in there and he played a character who was really pretentious, doing a real pretentious film
right.
at Cannes,
nice.
Which I guess fits.
Apparently it does. But the media world has descended on Cannes this week. I saw
except us.
Well, I made a comment on Film School Rejects earlier today when I was doing like a picture recap from Cannes. Like I was just taking pictures from The Wire and like
that,
putting them up.
Not that you were there. This is me not taking a picture of something.
Look at all the cool people that are there though. But I mentioned that the Film School Reject staff is not there for two reasons. One,
it's in France
and we're too cheap to fly all the way to France.
We've got one guy in Europe, but he's in Greece, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in Greece. Well, we have
somebody in Ireland.
Michelle is in Ireland. But we also probably will never get a press pass to Cannes. I mean,
oh, they're just terrified of us.
They, no way.
They take one look at me and be like, no way.
Like,
I should just show, you should grow a mullet and we should just show up there and say, yeah, man, we're from America.
Yeah, just
we're here
tickets.
To do movies.
I don't think I can do that.
No,
embarrass
so,
me in front of all the real.
Oh, I can embarrass
press.
You in front of people.
I know. Trust me. But your buddy was there, Jack Black.
Peter
was
Dinklage?
There with, no, not Peter Dinklage. We're going to talk about him in a little bit.
Peter Dinklage is the greatest actor right now. I'm a huge fan of Peter Dinklage.
But Jack Black was there with 40 pandas.
Spilling the beans.
Yes,
about,
Kung Fu Panda premiered yesterday. It got good reviews.
Yeah, probably not for me, though.
Yeah,
because I wasn't in con.
Because you're angry against Jack Black because he's funnier than you.
Hmm?
Yep, that's right.
Whatever.
So, but Angelina Jolie was also there, and we found out that she's having twins.
From Jack Black, which is the weirdest thing in the world.
No, the funniest one was I found a picture of her and Jack Black, and because she's in Kung Fu Panda.
And a panda.
And a panda. And I was like, oh my
God. Like a real panda?
No, like a panda in a suit.
Now, if they would have really had pandas there, and they would have like maybe
Kung
put
Fu
electrodes on them, that
like,
PETA would have been completely insane over.
Yeah.
But like put like a exoskeleton on, make them do Kung Fu.
That would be cool.
That would be awesome.
Now,
it would be completely against anything animal rights related, but it would be really wicked.
Speaking
cool.
of PETA, I have something. I have some news. I know we don't usually do news to the end of the show, but we've got the time. PETA actually is complaining that there was monkey abuse on the set of Speed Racer, as if things aren't going bad enough for Speed Racer.
Except the fact
point.
That it's a chimpanzee, which is an ape.
Whatever.
Was
they
it?
Were like, it's a chimpanzee.
Was
and
somebody
it,
spanking
it was
the monkey on the set?
That's kind of where I was going with that. Apparently there was some monkey spanking on the set of Speed Racer, and that is why the film failed miserably.
It is not why the film failed. It's like these bunch of Hindus that are out there like
protesting the love guru.
Yeah, going crazy about the love guru, like, oh, you need to stop that. Canada's going to not distribute it.
Right.
And you're like, the movie suckage alone is going to be what kills that
and
film.
Paramount won't even admit that it takes place in Canada, so... Anyways, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about an actual movie that's coming out this weekend.
And Peter Dinklage. And now, ladies and gentlemen, is the segment in which we talk about the greatest actor known to man at this time. That's right. Talking about Peter Dinklage.
Of course. In fact...
And it sounds like I'm making fun of him.
No.
But I'm not.
No,
I love Peter Dinklage.
We really do like... In fact, I've confused many another actor for Peter Dinklage.
Well, there's the guy in...
The guy from In Bruges.
Who
I
looks...
Like, that has got to be Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, like from far away. And then you get closer and you're like, oh, I guess it's not him.
Yeah, so this is... I for the next couple of minutes here, we're going to do Fat Guy's tribute to Peter Dinklage, a living legend.
Yeah, I love Peter Dinklage. And the thing is...
And you love him in a really weird way.
In a weird... In a very inappropriate way, because he's really... He's a great actor, and he's been in some great. Well, I wouldn't say great stuff. I wouldn't exactly call Underdog like the echelon of.
But he's been
greatness.
Good in everything he's been in.
He is a guy who commits fully to the role. And he takes it all in good humor. Absolutely. And the reason we talk about him today is he's in Prince Caspian, The Chronicles of Narnia, which is, again, as we pointed out, the only film opening anywhere in
which
America.
We'll eventually get to talking about the actual movie. So if you're trying to skip through the show to find out where we actually talk about Prince Caspian, you're not going to find it.
But we give a salute. Salute to Peter Dinklage, because he's in it and he's great. He's in makeup. You can't really tell it's him very much. But
He plays a character named Trumpkin.
Yeah. He plays a dwarf.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Along with Warwick Davis, who actually is pretty good, too. He's grown from his leprechaun days.
Wait, Warwick Davis? Is that the guy from Willow?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so
sad. And he was
in
the Harry Potter movies?
Just in case any of you missed it, I'm so sad that I skipped Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah, this is the thing. So I'm the only, the reason we're sort of stalling around is because Neil hasn't seen it, because he's like the lamest film critic
in
America.
I was a little under the weather and I didn't feel like driving the allotted distance that Disney was going to make me drive to see the film.
I was driving. All you would have to do was sit there.
Yeah, well.
My kids were better behaved than you would have been.
Oh, well, this is also true.
Anyways, should we talk about Narnia?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Let's talk about Narnia.
The only film opening this weekend is the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. This is the follow-up to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which was one of the box office leaders of 2005, in which a prince has been dethroned or kind of sent away in Narnia, and the kids are back 1,300 years later.
I don't remember any ruins in Narnia.
I wonder who lived here.
I think we did.
I think it's time we found out what went on here.
Who are you?
I am Prince Caspian.
You may find Narnia a more savage place than you remember.
All that you know is about to change.
So you chose to skip this because you were feeling under the weather.
Yeah, and while you were watching it, I was reading reviews that are already online, so I totally already have an opinion.
Okay, well, good to know. Let me go ahead and throw out my opinions.
Yeah, let's do the one from the guy who actually saw the movie first.
Clean. I enjoyed it. I really did. I liked it, and I brought my kids, and they enjoyed it. It's probably one of those that for the youngest of viewers, maybe skewed a little bit higher than what you did for the first one, because see, the first one was a lot of cute fuzzy animals and there was some peril, and I'm going to actually pull back from saying that this one's darker than the first one, because I just watched the first one again this week and I'm like, nah, that's pretty dark. I mean, when they kill Aslan on the stone table, and you've got that huge battle where people are dying and, you know, kids are killing the bad guys with their swords and everything.
Right.
So I wouldn't say there's any more inappropriate, any worse content in terms of darkness or sort of fantasy violence. Mm-hmm. Just maybe a little bit more of it. And the reason it makes a difference is this one, whereas the last one was basically the four kids were the only four humans in Narnia. This one is sort of a human army has invaded and taken over Narnia and driven out all the Narnians, I guess is what you'd call them.
All the creatures.
Yeah, and then the kids come back and join with Prince Caspian to kind of like overthrow the humans. So it's sort of this weird mix of, it's not a weird mix, but just a mix of sort of a Lord of the Rings kind of, or rather sort of a medieval battle with all the humans and kings, sort of like Elizabeth, the Narnia age, you know, where they have.
Okay. Well, now this is why I'm actually going to go see it. Once it's in theaters this weekend.
But let me just say, I thought it was really well done.
I got that.
Okay.
But I read somewhere, actually, Eric Snyder over at Cinematical wrote this huge column about how it was not a PG movie. And that's what makes me interested. I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I'm just saying that I'm interested to see why he would be so impacted to say that this movie should have been a PG-13, I don't know.
I think the big difference in this, there's nothing in this movie that's not kind of in the first movie in terms of the battles. The kids are out there battling and shooting arrows at things. The only difference is this time they're shooting it at humans and not like Minotaurs.
okay.
And giants.
They're not shooting at CGI.
Yeah, they're not shooting at fake animals. They're shooting it at people. But the thing is, a lot of the stuff is bloodless. Even I was watching the first one, and like Peter kind of like just runs this creature through, and he pulls a sword out, and it's totally clean.
Right.
You know, same thing. He kills a wolf, and it's totally clean. They kind of have the same thing. There's not much going on in terms of blood, and I can see where people say that, but really, it's like a cartoon in that sense.
Okay. So, and I think he compared it to like Lord of the Rings. Like some of the battles were like Lord of the Rings big, because Lord of the Rings is like that, where it's kind of a bloodless battle, but that was still like a little more hardcore. But that's why I'm interested to see it, is because I'm interested to see whether or not it is as dark as some of the reviews would lead you to believe. But
it's not dark. I mean, it's not Lord of the Rings dark.
Okay.
I think Lord of the Rings is much darker, and like it's heavier.
When I say dark, I mean violent.
Yeah, violent, but even like the bad guy. Sauron in Lord of the Rings is like...
Evil.
Evil. Pure evil.
Okay.
Whereas the bad guy in this one, I don't know, did you ever watch the BBC? He reminded me a lot. Have you ever watched the BBC America's version of Robin Hood?
No.
Did you ever catch that?
No.
The guy who plays the Sheriff of Nottingham, who's bad, he does some really bad things, but he's still sort of like... You know, he's not Darth Vader. He's okay. Not evil. He's just this nasty guy.
Okay. So
somewhat comic booky.
So you would say that it's safe for the
parents
out there.
Know your kids.
Okay.
I if you have a 4-year-old, you might want to see it first. Mm-hmm. But if you got a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, they're gonna be totally fine. They're not gonna have nightmares over it. I mean, if they didn't have nightmares over the first one.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. Well, I can kind of buy that if you're gonna say that it's just like the first one.
Yeah, but it's different in the sense that, and I even remember at Comic-Con talking to the producer of this.
Right.
He's like, we're dealing with humans fighting the animals instead of just the animals fighting each other. And the other thing is, I like the characterization, in particular Edmund, who, if you remember the first movie, he was sort of like the real tool of the family, who like didn't believe Lucy, and then like went to the White Witch and completely betrayed everybody and got Aslan killed and all this kind of thing. This one, he's grown a lot. And I'm going to compare him. I don't know if you really are into the Harry. I know you sort of haven't seen all the Harry Potter stuff.
No, I'm totally into Twilight.
Yeah, okay. But Harry Potter, the character in Harry Potter of, who's the nerdy kid with the frog at the beginning? I don't remember.
You're looking at me like I'm supposed to know.
He's the kid. Oh, I can't remember what his name is. But he's the one who gets the extra points at the end of the first movie.
No idea.
He kind of starts out as a real nerd, kind of a not that good, but he throughout the books becomes somewhat of a hero, and that's kind of what Edmund does. There's growth in Edmund's character. And there's growth in
Was this snivelly little kid?
Yeah. Neville Longbottom.
Neville
Longbottom.
Yeah.
But
I don't know why I know that.
Yeah, but Susan has some growth, but see, what's interesting about the characters is you got to remember these are kids that lived up into their 20s and 30s. I don't know how old they were when they went. Then they went back through the wardrobe and became kids again. So they're sort of like adults now trapped in kids' bodies, and they're still kids going to Narnia. So there's a certain amount of subtext there that
I
found
so
interesting.
I'm so confused.
Whatever. There's a lot of battles in it.
There's a lot of action in it, which is why I'm going to see it.
There's Minotaurs and Centaurs kicking butt.
Yeah, so that's really what I'm in it for. But I think a lot of people out there are a little worried about the kid factor.
Yeah,
you know, because there's a lot of critics out there.
But it is 2 hours and 20 minutes. So.
Oh yeah, great.
You know. But I mean, kids will, like I said, just know your kids and you know, for the youngest, there was an infant in the screening, which there's never a reason to bring an infant.
Right? Why'd you bring yours?
I didn't.
Just kidding.
I was going to bring you, but
you decided
to stay home.
Wow.
But no, I give it.
It
I
went
it a
there.
Rocks.
Didn't.
It rocks.
Okay. All right. Well, Kevin gives it rocks, and I'm not in a place to disagree with him because I didn't see the movie. But I will say this: I'm supporting the film, so that's at least a kind of rocks. I'm gonna go see it.
And you're like, I'm sure it's gonna be okay.
I'm sure it better be okay if I'm gonna pay to see it. Yeah. So that's
you're going to the movie tavern, so you'll like, be drunk.
I know it's gonna be like a $30 trip.
You'll be like, I'm gonna see this movie. I could have seen it for free, but the beer tab alone.
Yes,
it's gonna
the beer
cost
tab alone is gonna make up for it. But we'll be right back in a moment. And now that we've talked about
the Peter Dinklage,
one movie that came out this week,
and Peter Dinklage.
And Peter Dinklage. I mean, we're pretty much done with the show at this point. Like, I'm done.
Yet somehow we're going to go on for another half
yet
hour.
Yet somehow we still have half a show to go.
Miraculously, we're going to keep talking.
Yes. For those of you who missed it, Narnia rocks. Yes. And now we're going to talk about how much money it's going to make.
Yes.
Probably a lot.
The answer is buttloads.
Not Iron Man buttloads, though.
Well, you don't know, because the predictions are a lot higher. Than originally, it was tracking at like 60 to 70. Now the predictions are coming in 90s.
90 million? Well, I agree. I think, you know what? And I think that might have had something to do with Iron Man a little bit, because the predictions were coming in so low with Iron Man compared to what it actually did.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the same thing. So now they're saying, well, maybe the movie going public in America does have money.
Well, and this is the thing. This is, I think, what's going to boost Narnia more than anything. There's several things that sort of like the stars are aligning for him. First of all, it's the only movie coming out this weekend.
Right.
The leader from the last weekend was Iron Man, and that's had two good solid weeks to get its audience.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it sees another 40-50% drop, it's just in the 20s.
Right.
What happens in Vegas and Speed Racer, what happens in Vegas did okay, but Speed right. Racer pretty much flopped.
Yeah, and I have a feeling What Happens in Vegas will probably do okay again this week, because it's really the only like date chick flicky movie out after Maid of Honor got stomped.
And Narnia is a little bit chick flicky, and I'll tell you why, because it's got the two girls in it, and it's not just a boy smash things up movie. There's right. significant parts for the girls in it.
Gwyneth Paltrow's in Iron Man.
Whatever. But the thing is, Speed Racer, I think, proves that there's a certain bankability to catering to the teenage, the preteen girl crowd.
Yeah, totally.
With Miley Cyrus and Hannah Montana. That thing made tons of money. And that's pretty much 10 to 13-year-old
right.
girls.
And Speed Racer was a little boys' movie.
Yeah, which is 10 to 13-year-old boys. Apparently, they don't scream loud enough to bring their
right, movie. Right.
And I think if you did a Speed Racer concert, mm-hmm. you wouldn't have people paying $2,000 for tickets.
Right. And you know what? I completely agree with that. And I think later in the year when Twilight comes out, we're really going to see that.
Yeah. Well, but see, I think that's also what drives Harry Potter.
That's true. There are a lot of most of the diehard Harry Potter fans I know are girls, like my age girls.
And it's not even, and this is rare, because usually they throw the female lead as the most universal, because a girl in peril, like the horror movies,
right?
You always have a female lead in the horror movies because women will identify, girls will identify with it, and boys or males will want to protect. So it's sort of both things. But Harry Potter, the only girl in it
is Hermione,
and
right.
she's kind of taken a back seat in the last couple films,
right?
And Narnia. But the other thing about Narnia, Iron Man's been out for 2 weeks. It's had its chance to make its box office. Speed Racer tanked, so the family's kind of ignored it.
Right.
Narnia, while it has the same length as Speed Racer, there's a heck of a lot more meat to it.
Mm-hmm.
And families are going to flock to this movie.
Okay.
There's no other family movie out.
Totally, unfortunately, not disagreeing with you at all this week
when
it comes to Narnia, because I think we were talking about this earlier this week. They could have not screened it for critics. They could have not done anything. And this thing's just going to make a killing.
Yeah.
There's just no way around it.
Again, I think a lot has to do with the fact there's nothing opposing it.
Right.
So.
Right. But next week, that'll be the interesting week to see where Indiana Jones fits in to all of these shenanigans. So it's almost like, Narnia is going to have a big weekend, but how many weeks does it really have?
Yeah. Because then it's Indiana Jones, and what comes out the last week of May?
Sex and the City.
Oh, well, that's...
Which, I mean...
The 12-year-olds are going to flock to that one.
Well,
you know what? I saw the... I haven't heard the reports of this yet, but it is rated R, not Narnia, the Sex and the City is. And it's rated R for, quote, graphic nudity.
Right.
And if you look at other movies that have said graphic nudity, that means you're going to see junk.
Yeah, and this is becoming the year of the junk anyways.
Yeah.
I think we've seen more junk in movies than any other year. I mean, forgetting Sarah Marshall and...
Walk Hard was at the end of last year, but pretty much when it says... You can have a gynecology exam in a movie,
right?
And they're not going to say graphic nudity. You put some guy's junk in the movie...
Right.
Suddenly, it's considered graphic nudity.
I'm looking up the movie Teeth. just to see what it says.
Does it have junk in it?
Dude.
Is it junk that's still attached?
Disturbing sequences involving sexuality. No, it doesn't. And you know what?
Involving sexuality and violence, that doesn't mean that can include nudity.
That could include like half junk laying on the floor.
Yeah, that's
detached
not
detached from its owner.
That's not graphic nudity. Because
how is that not graphic nudity?
Because graphic nudity
that's
is
graphic
just,
to me.
Graphic nudity is just plop, it's there. And if you look at Dewey Cox,
right.
The no pun intended. You got Dewey Cox, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and Harold and Kumar, all that the junk was not portrayed in a sexual way.
Okay.
So that's why it's considered nudity, where sexual situations can involve nudity, but it's not necessarily nudity.
Just blows my mind. Yeah, graphic nudity. So anytime you sew junk, it's pretty much graphic nudity.
I think that's what it is. Graphic nudity is the way of saying junk.
Okay. Nice. So when Britney Spears goes to the grocery store, there's graphic nudity.
No, unless she has junk sitting around. And like, that's,
well, no, that's,
let me put you this way. I've seen the pictures on the internet, and I didn't see any junk anywhere.
No, like the female version of junk.
I don't know if that's considered graphic nudity, though.
Is it?
I don't know. How
God,
much?
We need to really get...
And what is it?
Like, because I think they should put us on the MPA ratings.
That would be so fun. I'd be like, they'd be like, there were breasts in this movie. I'm like, yeah, but they were awesome breasts.
PG.
Let's make it G rated. It's breastfeeding. I mean, my wife's breastfeeding right now. You can't help but see breasts. And it's not, have you ever been around a woman? It's a true story.
I don't think so.
When my oldest son was in preschool, there was a friend of his,
mm-hmm.
and we had a play date. You know, they came over.
Right.
The mother brought her daughter and my son.
For some reason,
played.
They never came back after this.
Well, no. And she had her infant there, and uh-huh. we're talking, and suddenly she just like blew whips it out, and I'm like, eh.
Did it make that sound?
Yeah, it's funny because it's like
that would be awesome.
It's like a Scooby Doo sound effect, bang, and she starts nursing right there, and I'm like, yeah. But do you know that in a lot of places that's not considered nude? A woman can stand on the front steps of the county courthouse, naked from the waist up. That's not considered nudity. Because it's not genitalia. Unfortunately, the only people who protest like that and try and test that out are people who look like me.
Yeah, that's true. We need to get like the supermodels for nudity.
That's supermodels for topless
to
women.
To protest with us.
That's right.
I'll stand shirtless with them.
And if you want
to. I don't
even
care.
Here, let me get my...
Where's the phone number?
Give us a call. We'll give that phone number out again for
supermodels
any supermodels.
For...
Call us at 740-205-6456.
And when that doesn't work, we're going to take a page from Harold and Kumar and try and start the bottomless trend.
Yes. But again, no one that looks like me.
Yes.
Except me.
Except me.
I can have that rule.
Nice. Cool. So back to the box office for a second. So it's easy to predict, I suppose, that in order, I'm going to say...
Harold and Kumar is going to win the weekend.
It's going to be in the top 10. I'm going to say very easily Narnia, Iron Man, What Happens in Vegas, Speed Racer, and hopefully Baby Mama beats Maid of Honor. But
we can only hope, but probably not because Baby Mama's had a week or two more on them.
Right. So, I'm calling Speed Racer to crack 30 again. Like, or not Speed Racer.
What?
Iron Man. I'm calling Iron Man to crack 30 again.
It
because
has a chance.
I tell you one thing that surprised the heck out of me was Brian and I went on Monday at an 11:45 in the morning screening when I was up in Cleveland visiting my mom for Mother's Day because I'm a nice son. And it was like...
On a Monday, right?
On a Monday. On Monday morning, it was like half to almost two-thirds full.
So what you're saying is all the homeless people?
No, it was... you know what?
People
it was,
with no jobs?
It was a lot of adults and it was a lot of older people because I think the word's starting to get around that Iron Man is kind of fun for everybody.
Yeah.
And
except my son
some of the old people
has ranked... His favorite was Narnia so far, then
well,
Speed
his
Racer.
Favorite, he's like my friend Alex from firstshowing.net, who his favorite movie is the one he just saw.
Yeah, like Kung Fu Panda.
Like,
bring it on, Alex.
Hey, what's the last movie you saw? That's your favorite. I mean, and I love Alex to death, but he gets really amped up about like the last movie he saw. Like Indiana Jones is going to be huge on his website this week. It's also going to be huge on our website.
That's right.
But that's because we're doing something cool. Do we want to talk? Can we talk about that now since we have time?
Sure, go ahead.
Sweet. We're doing a big feature this week. This is kind of a preview. It launches on Sunday night, so chances are If you're listening to our show, you're hearing it before Sunday night, no matter what market you're in, I think. But on Sunday night, we'll be launching the Film School Rejects Official Guide to Indiana Jones,
where we talk about the history of the three movies.
That's pretty much your whole deal, is the history.
That's right, and how Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom ushered in the PG-13 rating.
Yes.
Along with Gremlins. No one realized, not very many people realize that Steven Spielberg's responsible for that.
For the PG-13 rating. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know. I mean,
but a funny thing,
he's responsible for a lot of things.
The scene that caused all the hubbub about the PG-13 or PG rating is in Temple of Doom, where the guy rips the heart out and then lowers the guy into lava. I was showing my kids the Temple of Doom. I started them off with that one because I figured that's sort of like the most kid friendly, I guess. Right. Not friendly as much as it's the one they're most identify with, because his sidekick's a kid and it's a little more.
Right, it's got Short Round.
Yeah, it's doesn't
a prequel.
Yeah, and they don't talk about, you know, the Hebrew God doing this and the Ark of the Covenant, because
Jehovah.
I showed him
spelled with an I.
Jehovah, yeah. I showed him Raiders of the Lost Ark the other night, and he got a little confused when they're explaining about the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
But Temple of Doom is
which is spelled with a K, by the way.
Yes, it is. I've heard that. But so I we're watching it in the middle where Mola Ram's ready to sacrifice the guy. I'm like, okay, guys, you either have to cover your eyes or fast forward to this. And they're like, why? I go, well, there's some stuff in here you probably shouldn't see. And they're like, what? I go, well, he rips the guy's heart out of his chest and then lowers him into a pit of lava. And both my sons go, oh, we have to see that. Show us. We have to see it. We have to. So I showed it to them, and they're like, whatever. They didn't.
Yeah, see, your kids are tougher than I was, because that was one of the movies that I remember just years later still thinking back, going, wow, that was scary as hell.
Yeah, but you know what bugged them more than anything else? The kissing.
Oh, well, you know. The kissing. The cooties. The cooties will always get you.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so we're running, we're going to do the history of Indiana Jones. We also have a very cool preview of Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which includes tons of videos, tons of images, and tons of production notes. Like, I found just random behind-the-scenes stories that I think people are going to find interesting. Plus, we will have our review up as soon as...
And there might be a picture of me naked.
And there may not be a picture of you naked. Plus, we're going to do, as we always do, some cool top 10 lists, some cool, officially cool gear. And yeah, we're pretty much just going to beat everyone with.
And we're going to get Shia LaBeouf's arrest report.
Something like that. Yes. So, but.
And Peter Dinklage.
And Peter. Apparently, we're going to talk more about Peter Dinklage when we come back.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here we are on the Peter Dinklage show.
I'm sorry. I think Peter Dinklage would be a great porn star name. I didn't mean to interrupt the show here.
Okay.
That's just such a good name.
I'm sure he's never been approached for porn.
There's a lot of market for dwarf porn.
Oh God! What, like Bridget the Midget?
Like Bridget the Midget and Peter Dinklage? That'd be good stuff.
It's a good thing.
That'd be like a celebrity dwarf porn matchup.
And welcome to the internet only segment on Fat Guys at the Movies. You have now you've trounced the good name of Peter Dinklage.
Ooh, I've trounced whatever good name our show has left as well. I'm very proud of that. It was going to be me that did that.
Of course.
Yeah.
It was me who did it last week with the tsunami comment.
Oh, wow. Sweet. So let's see if we're in the internet only segment. Let's see if we can offend some more people.
Yeah, so we're going to do this
any
quickly
of them
because
that are left.
Because my hormonal wife is wanting me to pick up like Taco Bell on the way home.
Oh, yeah. It's getting late too.
So. Fourth meal. Hey, we didn't do a Fat Guys update or Fat Guys reject loser.
Well, yeah.
Have we been weighing ourselves?
Well, we kind of got off that because Brian, Brian's been ailing,
bedridden
from his hospital. He's not bedridden. He went to the movies this week with me.
I had a freaking baby.
You did not have anything.
Well, I didn't have anything. I had to deal with my mother-in-law.
You had to sleep. Yeah.
My mother-in-law was.
You had to deal with relatives. Your wife had the baby, and your wife the other day when I came over to your house was like standing out in the front yard, talking to the neighbors, hanging. She looked like nothing had happened.
My wife
is a trooper.
She takes this stuff, but you know, this is the thing. And I'm going to rant again. I ranted a little bit last week.
That's fine. Go ahead.
About breastfeeding.
Oh, geez.
This isn't about breastfeeding. That's what I was ranting about last week. But my wife, she's had 2 C-sections and she's delivered a VBAC, which is, I don't know what it stands for, but vagina is what the V stands for. Big surprise, because that's where the baby comes out of.
The vagina?
They wouldn't call
it... The vajayjay?
The vajayjay.
Sweet.
So, a lot of women... We were running around this week, like on Wednesday. So, he was a week old. And people were like, oh my gosh, you're standing around, you're up and around. Oh, I'm so amazed. I'm like, come on. Okay, yeah, they cut her open and tore her baby out of her belly, but, you know, it's been a week.
Yeah.
And she can walk around and, you know, her scar, she's got a scar and it's healing, but I mean, it's not like they amputated a leg.
Yeah.
So I'm just ranting because I think a lot of some women tend to be like, oh yeah, milk it big time.
Yeah, she was definitely, looked like she was in good spirits.
Well, when I was coming home from Prince Caspian from seeing it, I had to go to Cincinnati to see it, and I had my other 2 kids. She was left home with a baby, and she's like...
And for those of people who don't own maps, Cincinnati is 2 hours away from Columbus.
2 hours or almost 3 when you have a monsoon coming through Ohio. But I called her, and she's like, yeah, I'm not supposed to drive, but I put Nicholas in the car, and we just went and got, like, dinner. And I'm like, you rebel. But there's so much stuff in the doctor. Have you been to the doctor lately?
No.
You should. But anyway.
Thank you. Because I'm sick.
You are sick. No, but the thing is, it's gotten so ridiculous with the political correctness and what you can and cannot say and malpractice and all that stuff that the doctor just can't talk straight to you. The doctor can't sit there and say, you know, because they tell a pregnant woman or a woman who's just delivered and has a C-section. I don't know if this is the rule for if you do it naturally, but if you have a C-section, they're like, you can't pick up anything heavier than the baby. So babies usually less than 10 pounds, you know, unless you have a toddler.
Yours is like 30.
Well, yeah, ours came out. Ours actually, he's less than 10 pounds because they tend to lose a little bit of weight. So he's like 9.
He's on a diet like the rest of us.
Yeah, we said we're not going to let him get fat, so we're not feeding him.
Okay.
But anyway, but the whole thing is she's like, well, I can lift more stuff. And she carried him down the stairs the other day. And, you know, his head didn't fall off and her belly didn't open up and guts spill out everywhere. It's, you know, and they tell you these things and you like, it's sort of like a freeway sign. When you take an exit ramp and it says, you know, 25 miles an hour and the little yellow thing.
Like the speed
limit
sign?
Did you just fart?
No.
Something noise. Oh, okay.
We're having
a duel in the magical studio in the sky.
We have candles lit.
Yes.
That's where we
That was my fault.
Yes.
anyways. But so in a freeway sign, it says 25 miles per hour. You can pretty much take that at 50. You can double it and go that fast around the corner without flying off.
Mm-hmm.
But if they say 50, you know there's going to be the person who does it at 55 and kills like a busload of kids and be like, well, it said 50. I guess I could go 55. Yeah. So they're so conservative.
And look at that. We got an email from the Mothers Against Kevin Driving.
Whatever. No, but the whole thing is that doctors tell you, they'll tell you things like, you know, if you're taking a medicine and I've taken medicine that conflicts with alcohol, and I asked my doctor, can I have a beer at dinner? He's like, well, just one beer. And I'm like, well, that means I'm good for a 6-pack.
That means you're hammering them down later.
Because if they say you can have 2 or 3, they'd be like, well, that means I can have 5 for breakfast. You know? And
come on now. Nobody has beer for breakfast.
No, we go to hard liquor for breakfast. If you're drinking in the morning, it's not beer.
It's vodka and orange juice.
Yeah, chances. That's another thing. Have you ever been to a place that serves mimosas?
Yeah. They serve them early.
It's the whole
I had
point.
Them
it's,
at like 10 o'clock in the morning
that's
when
the point.
I was in Austin.
It's like breakfast alcohol.
Yeah.
It's if you were to go
mimosas.
In there.
They're such a girly drink, but I'll drink them all day.
Well, yeah, but if you go down and say I'd like a rum and Coke, they'll look at you like you're like, you friggin' alcoholic. But if you say, no, I'd like a pitcher of mimosa, they're like, ooh, let it flow, baby.
Because it's champagne and orange juice. That's what it is.
Yeah, champagne and orange, but it's still champagne. You can get drunk on champagne if you drink it enough.
Yeah, you can.
You can get drunk on cough syrup if you
drink it. No, the best one was we had mimosas on our last day in Austin. Mm-hmm. And at this really awesome restaurant on the campus of the University of Texas with some very nice waitresses.
Hot?
Very.
Really?
And it was like,
Touch them inappropriately and then pretend?
No, but they tried to touch me, but I was like, listen, I got to go.
They touched you.
So we
Was it one of those restaurants? No. Oh, they touched me inappropriately. They accidentally put their hand down my pants.
No.
That's why you wear sweatpants to those places.
Wow, thank you. We've really derailed here. But anyways, so we drank like six mimosas and then we drove home all the way to Ohio. It was great.
You basically violated DUI. And you pulled a Tara Reid over like four states.
Texas, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Ohio.
What is the legal drinking limit in Arkansas? Like 4.0?
No. Legal drinking limit is for more than 3 seconds? All right, he's good.
Do we have any listeners in Arkansas? Not anymore.
How does he smell? Does he smell better than our rest stops? All right. Yeah, he's still good.
Texas doesn't have the best rest stops either.
Texas was okay.
You know who has the best rest stops in the entire union? Did I tell you this before?
Wasn't it Idaho or
Iowa?
Some weird state.
Iowa has awesome rest stops.
They have nothing better to do.
Oh, there you go. Shame on you.
Are we on in Iowa?
Not anymore. Okay. Actually, we were being considered for Cedar Rapids.
Oh, we're going down.
We're not going to send show. This is internet only. This will not go on the air.
I'm an Ohio State Buckeyes fan. I hate anyone else in the Big Ten. Okay. It's like it starts with Michigan and it just works its way down from there.
Wow.
Till we get to like Penn State, where my cousin went to college, so I only hate them a certain degree.
He's like, the Hawkeyes, I don't want anything to do with them. Nothing. Bin Laden, you're okay.
No, Bin Laden's a Michigan Wolverine in my book. Oh, so.
All right.
What were we doing in this segment?
Top 10 list. Let's
blow through this thing, man. Yeah.
After seeing Narnia, I'm like, isn't it cool that we have CGI, that you can actually have cool animals, like CGI creatures? Because if they did this like in the 80s, they'd be Muppets.
That'd be awesome.
you'd have Aslan looking like, you know, like
the guy from the lion from the Muppets.
From the Muppets. There's no
Fozzie Bear.
No, between the lion. Yeah, Fozzie Bear. Ah, wah, waka, 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 waka. Hey there, Susan.
Oh, man.
Lucy, what's going on? Why am I carrying this fish just for the hell of it? Anyways. I got that off the Muppet Show. That's coming out. Muppet Show Season 3. Pretty awesome compared to the second one. It's almost at the level of the first season. And I was watching it with my new son, Nicholas, who's about a week old.
Who can't see across the room yet because he's only a week old.
Well, because what happened was I was in my pediatrician's office, and my pediatrician knows I do movie reviews. And he's like, oh, did you show movies yet? And I'm like, yeah, we were watching Diary of the Dead the other day. And he got this look of terror, and I'm like, he's a week old. He can't focus on my own face when I'm holding him. He's not going to be like, oh, that zombie getting shot in the head was so disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even a big screaming movie. So then my wife's like, why didn't you tell him you were showing him the Muppet Show? I'm like, well, it was funnier.
It was funnier if you used the movie that's totally not appropriate.
So anyways,
this is how the mind of Kevin Carr works.
The 10 wicked cool CGI fantasy creatures. And there is a top 10 list on Film School Rejects, or supposedly there will be, which may not be exactly the same as this. Just because
I haven't written it yet.
It hasn't been written and posted yet. And there's notes at my computer that isn't in the Magical Studio in the Sky. So anyways, number 10, dinosaurs. Even though they're not fantasy, they're pretty wicked cool.
Wait, dinosaurs? Oh, from what? Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park, King Kong. What was the other one?
Sky Captain? No, we don't need to go past Jurassic Park. I think Jurassic Park pretty much takes the cake.
Okay, that's cool. All three. Number 9, the Phoenix. And you can tell in the Harry Phoenix. Potter movies, in the second Harry Potter movies, it was a Muppet Phoenix, and it looked really stupid. Mm-hmm. And then they had a CGI one. And there's also a CGI one in, I don't know if it's in the original cut of Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, but they do have a Phoenix that like sets fire to the Minotaur army. So those are cool. Number 8, ogres, trolls, and giants. With a double silent
from Lord of the Rings.
Well, that sort of rolls them together. You know, they had Harry Potter has giants, Narnia has giants, Lord of the Rings has giants.
I don't think they're all the same though.
Well, they're not all the same, but they're all giant creatures that look ugly, kind of like Rosie O'Donnell. Anyways, number 7, fawns, and this is not just from Narnia, but from Pan's Labyrinth too.
Oh, yeah. Pan's Labyrinth was pretty wicked.
Which is a pretty crazy fawn. But you couldn't have done that.
You could do a whole 10 cool creatures from Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, but they're not like the traditional, like the giant freaky toad and the stump. Cool. I don't know what that came from, but
somebody's
dropping acid. Number six, dragons. Harry Potter has dragons. Those are pretty cool.
Beowulf. He had a pretty cool CGI dragon.
And I'm going to kind of leave a sort of ushering that in was Dragonheart, but Reign of Fire.
Yeah, underrated Christian Bale movie.
That's right. Batman battles dragons.
Probably Matthew McConaughey's best film because he doesn't talk through the whole thing.
Arguably, yes. Number five, trees.
Just trees.
Trees. Well, you know, you have from Wizard of Oz, give me that. How'd you like if somebody picked an apple off of you? You know.
Wait, but I thought we were talking about CG. You're talking about Wizard of Oz.
But Wizard of Oz, it was just a guy in a suit. You could tell it was a guy in a suit. Oh. Lord of the Rings, you had giant trees fighting battles. That was cool. Yeah. And trees show up.
So this is in the new Narnia movie. This is pretty much like the 10 creatures that were improved by CGI.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think we got a good new title for that.
Number four, giant apes.
Like King Kong.
King Kong. Even though it was a long, long movie.
And if you want to think of like a bad way to do it, it would be...
the Dino De Laurentiis King Kong?
No. Well, yeah, that, but...
Where they had the 50-foot ape.
The original Planet of the Apes.
Those were great at the time.
I don't know.
And they weren't giant apes, though. King Kong, sort of like stop action, the 1970s, some Dino De Laurentiis... Apparently,
right. Apparently, they went backwards from 1933 to the 77 version.
I'll tell you, yeah, they built a 50-foot tall ape for the movie, and it never worked. And it was hydraulic, so they only had there's one scene where they reveal Kong to the world, and that's the actual model because you can tell it doesn't quite look like the guy in the suit.
Right.
And all the other scenes where he was moving around, apparently there was an hydraulic leak, so it looked like he was urinating. Everywhere.
Nice.
So they didn't use
it. Yeah, that I couldn't tell in the Peter Jackson one. The guy, you couldn't even tell it was a guy in a suit.
It was me. No, it wasn't. It was Rosie O'Donnell. Anyways, number three.
Rosie comes back.
Speaking of Rosie O'Donnell and giant, ugly fantasy creatures, Minotaurs. These are from...
Minotaurs. I call them Minotaurs.
Minotaurs. You say tomato, I say tomato.
You're from two streets over.
Whatever.
So.
But yeah, Minotaurs... Well, that sounds like a unitard or something like that.
Minotaurs.
Or leotard.
Minotaurs.
Minotaurs and leotards?
Whatever.
Anyways, those are sort of like a big, bulky guy with a cow's head or a bull's head. And although a lot of those are, from the waist up, they're puppetry kind of things and suits. From the waist down, they have actually legs of a goat or of a cow.
Right. And that's from Narnia.
Totally Narnia. Number Both two, movies. Centaurs. These are also in Harry Potter, but much, much cooler in Narnia.
Okay.
They do them much better in Narnia. Number one, though, my favorite, Griffins.
What are Griffin?
Griffins are the lion body with the eagle head. Narnia.
From Narnia. Well, there was a...
They also have sort of like...
What
was
the thing
it's a hippogriff.
In the Spiderwick Chronicles, the flying thing.
That was a griffin. I think so. And then
he kind of had like a horse's body though.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
no,
an
this
eagle's
one it's
head.
It's a lion's body and an eagle's head. And they also have a hippogriff in Harry Potter, which is sort of like a griffin, but not exactly. I just like them in
It's like the hippopotamus that, you know, got drunk one night and went and made out with the griffin and
they like end up with something else.
Something all kinds of weird.
Yeah.
At Harry Potter. J.K. Rowling's all over the place.
Mermaids are pretty cool too.
Mermaids are cool. I wish they would just bring back unicorns.
They do. They were in the first Narnia. There was a unicorn.
Not good.
But unicorns are easy. They just you put a fake they were able to do unicorns in Legend.
That's true.
With
you know what they need to do. You know what movie they need to remake with
President
CGI?
Who?
Neverending Story.
Oh yeah, Neverending Story is awesome.
Yes.
And my favorite part is like it's supposed to be in New York City, and at the end where the luck dragon's flying over.
Yeah.
It's totally not New York City. It's like so obviously like Prague in the '80s. You know who directed that? Wolfgang Petersen.
Yeah. Sure. That was like one of my favorite movies of all time.
That was one of his first English language movies. It was right off of Das Boot.
Das Boot. Yeah, so all kinds of cool mythical creatures. I think we should honestly do a comparison for the article. Like bad and good. Like 10 CGI characters that were improved.
Oh, now there's a lot of work I got to do.
Yeah, totally. This is why I'm the editor. This is why I'm in charge.
Okay.
Anyways, we will be back to wrap you up. If you're still with us, we're going to talk DVDs and we'll get you set for... Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. paying attention at the end of the internet only segment, that was me humming the tune to Indiana Jones. The okay. Indiana Jones theme song.
Are they making another movie of Indiana Jones?
Nope. Maybe. I don't know. There's a reason that they're all in Cannes this week. In fact, my reaction was, George Lucas? What's he doing there?
Well, you know, I saw headlines going, it's indie films versus indies film.
Wow.
Wah, wah.
Waggity schmaggity doo.
Oh, there's a channeling.
Patton Oswalt.
Well, actually, channeling David Metzger, channeling Patton
and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. That's their. That's pretty much what they do every time you say something.
No, they don't. They just ignore me.
Yeah, that's pretty much the modus operandi.
Who's your favorite Muppet?
Who's my favorite Muppet? Yeah. Kermit, obviously.
Oh, that is so easy. That's like saying Curly's your favorite stooge.
So?
Beaker.
I like Kermit.
Beaker. We talked about Beaker once before.
Well, yeah. I think Kermit, though, because Kermit's the leader. Although I was always, you know, I always identified more with Fozzie for some reason.
Because nobody
but
laughs
I always
at
wanted
your jokes.
To be the leader. So I wanted to be like Kermit.
I was watching the Muppet Show, and Fozzie accidentally burned down the Muppet Theater. And he sent all the stagehands out.
God,
once.
I need to borrow this from you. I love
you
the
should
Muppets.
Get the Muppet Show, season 3.
Mm-hmm.
I see the emails.
Anyways.
You know who's a great Muppet? From the first season of Gonzo, should go check the first
Gonzo's
season.
Gonzo's good stuff.
Because Gonzo, see, he kind of became the ladies' man with the chickens and,
right,
and
yeah.
had a little bit of street cred. In the first season, he was totally pathetic.
Yeah.
He was ridiculously pathetic.
Yeah, Gonzo, yeah, I don't know. I love all the Muppets.
The Muppets are awesome.
I'm excited that they announced that they're bringing back Fraggle Rock. Like,
yeah, but the Weinsteins are doing it.
Yeah.
So.
Like, I still have hope for it, though.
I was never a huge Fraggle Rock fan.
Fraggle Rock is awesome. It's basically the poor man's Muppets.
Let's well, they were Muppets. What do you mean it's the poor
yeah,
man's
it's the
Muppets?
Poor man's, like, version of the Muppets.
It,
like,
it was
not
the
Muppet.
It is Muppets.
Not, well, whatever.
That's like saying, well, you know, I don't want to see Transformers 2 because that's sort of like a ripoff of Transformers.
We're not talking about this anymore. So let's do our DVD roundup.
And that's actually appropriate. The whip sound I just made.
Because this week...
you would think that I'm that guy from Police Academy who can do all those voices.
You're
noises.
Not.
I'm not.
You're also white.
Oh, wow. You like to point that stuff out, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. So, that's only, what makes him cooler.
Because only black people can make noises? What?
See,
that
now
makes
that,
no sense.
I say stuff like that to bait you into saying stuff like that.
No, I'm asking, like, what does that have any bearing on me making noises?
It doesn't matter. We're moving on.
You're so weird.
So anyways, we have pretty much the shared pick of the week. We have the Indiana Jones trilogy re-release.
Yes.
The special edition. In fact, it's sitting on the table over there. It's the adventure edition.
It's not the first time they're on DVD, but it's the most recent one.
It is the most recent one. And here's what I will say about it, because I've kind of trudged my way through all of it. I haven't watched all the special features yet, though. But from what I can tell, if you already own the trilogy... it's not worth buying again. There's not enough on there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have Indiana Jones, which is up until the point where that showed up in my mailbox, it is definitely worth getting.
Yeah.
I didn't own it. If you don't own, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Temple of Doom and
these are must-haves.
Last Crusades, these are movies that you absolutely have to have. And I would suggest getting them now and having a little... watch party next week. I know a lot of people that are actually doing the full, like, Thursday afternoon. They're starting with Raiders and watching all the way through.
Well, there's a TV station that's doing all three of them,
yeah,
I believe.
What is it? TNT?
TNT or something
TNT,
like that.
Whoever,
Spike or I don't know.
Whoever George Lucas, like, owns their face.
Owns their face?
Yeah.
I have your face in my back pocket.
Know. Whatever one's going to run that Star Wars cartoon at the end of the year. But, but yeah, no, it's definitely worth getting, definitely worth seeing. Again, I watched Last Crusade the other night.
And I like how you pointed great. Out on Film School Rejects that I'm a rarity among the staff being the only person who has actually been alive. For all, because you weren't even alive. You were like Nicholas's age.
I was born in 83, so I was not alive when the first one came out. I was one when the second one came out, but I was six. I believe I saw Last Crusade in the theaters, but that was the year my brother was born, so I don't know if I saw it in the theater. I cannot remember.
Wow.
Because I was only six.
I was like in like a junior in high school.
Yeah.
When the third one came out.
Yes.
I was like I was like 10 or 11 when the first one came out, so mm-hmm. I was like total target age.
Right.
It was the first movie I ever bought on VHS.
Nice.
I bought a VCR for that, and I watched it over and over and over again. I am the reason that my parents hate Raiders of the Lost Ark, because I watched it so many times.
Nice. And you're one of those people who's been waiting the 17, 18 years for the next one to come.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, here's an interesting piece of trivia. Do you know that Harrison Ford is older now than Sean Connery was when he did Last Crusade?
And he looks old in Last Crusade. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's the story there. It's Indiana Jones, go out and get that. Really nothing else of note. Narnia came out on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
check it out. And our stinker of the week?
Mad Money. Yeah. Is mad bad.
It is mad bad. Mad crap.
Starring an Oscar winner, an Oscar nominee, and somebody who hates her life.
Somebody who's married to Tom Cruise.
Yes.
The Great Debaters also came out, which...
I think that they should have called that The Master.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, moving on. All right, so our review wrap-up, so easy this week. Chronicles of Narnia, one of us saw it, and that was you, and you said...
Rocks.
It rocks. So go see Narnia. Just beware if you've got the little kids.
Don't bring babies.
But
babies don't care.
Seems, as far as Kevin says, it's okay for everybody up from there on up.
No, your kids.
So next week we've got Indiana Jones, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. We're also going to talk about Uwe Boll's Postal, and we're going to review Son of Rambo, which, just a little precursor, is awesome.
And there's a free contest, screening.
And we have a free screening on Tuesday the 20th, so if you're in Columbus, check out filmschoolrejects.com. And we'll see you next week. Silly shenanigans.
Shenanigans.